Hey there, everybody out in Radio Land. It's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you have joined us today. It's going to be a great 2 hours, and we love being able to talk about Jesus for the next couple hours, Pastor Jim. I mean, really. And he just popped his Diet Coke, so y'all just heard that, and that's cool. No, that's all right. I'm glad you're back on today. We had a rearranging of schedules, so PJ's back with us today. But we got Nan back after all this time. Nan's been on vacation, done all kinds of stuff, running around and letting her hair grow and stuff. So she is just really, we're glad you're back, Nan.
It's wonderful to be back, Pastor.
And we have one of our special guests in the radio station with us today, Mary. And so welcome, Mary. We're glad you're here with us. It's fun. We love to talk about the Lord on these shows. We are just in this great series in the book of 1 John, and it's entitled Alive with Five. And if you missed the last three or four shows, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And catch up. They're there. The shows are there. And PJ, did we not have just a great time on the radio last week talking about the Lord and the Word?
No, we did. We did. And, you know, it's schedule change or not, I love being on the radio.
Absolutely great, isn't it? Yes. And it's just a fun way to spend a Sunday afternoon talking for a couple hours about God's great love for us. And, Nan, we've been in this series. Have you been enjoying 1 John?
Oh, is it? Yes, I mean it's like just a book with five chapters, and
right.
Kind of a little nestled there in the back before Revelations area,
right?
And I've just learned so much. I mean, I've been in church all my life. I know one. I've never sat under someone who's taught out of 1 John, and it's just so eye opening and so many wonderful things we've been learning.
Well, it's just all about God's love for us. You know, God is love. We're going to talk about this today. Just how much. What he really feels about us, because, Nan, I think a lot of times we grow up in maybe church environment even or home environment in a setting where we're not sure really how does God feel about me, you know? Or maybe if we grow up with some issues going on in our lives that some people just think are terrible or whatever, we get to feeling down about ourselves, you know? And we're, as we study 1 John, we're just learning that how God cares about us and loves us, you know? It's just wonderful.
It is. I mean, I've learned so much about how he loved me, and I have been raised in church all my life.
Right.
You know, but, you know, to realize the depthness of his love for me,
yes.
Nan, who messes up. Who makes mistakes. You know.
And we know that. PJ and I know you mess up.
Yeah, we do.
But, you're human, just like we all
right,
are.
Exactly.
We like to pick on you and tease
sure,
you.
No problem.
But.
I might as well accept it.
I'm glad you say no problem. Yes. But the truth of the matter is we all struggle, I believe, with feeling like God gets mad at us or God has been mad at us or he's angry with all of us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think in the churches that I grew up in, a lot of times what I would recall hearing is about an angry God.
Yes.
And that whole thing of being an angry God.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
And yeah, they talked about the love of God, but they seem to talk more about the anger of
right.
God. And so that sets in motion sometimes how, like you were just saying, how does
right.
God feel about me?
Right.
Because he's angry God. Well, that means he's angry at me.
He's angry
you know?
At me. Yeah. Psalm 103, David says, he has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Thank the
you
Lord.
You know, praise God. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, it's his great love for us. And Pastor Jim, I think you and I both grew up... you know, hearing that kind of a message like Nan has too, you know, that God's mad, he's upset, he's, you know, out to get us. And there's probably people that are tuning in right now who have had that pounded mm-hmm. into their heads forever. So talk to me about that or talk to our radio audience about whether or not there's hope to change that mindset.
Well, I'm proof that it can change.
Okay.
You know, And this wasn't even so much for my church. I went to a fairly liberal church where God was all ooey gooey love.
Okay.
And
ooey gooey love.
Ooey gooey love.
Believe me, you know.
Yeah.
There was no judgment in that God.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
So it wasn't that, but it's just, I mean, people grow up in a church like Nan did.
Right.
Sometimes it's just from our family. I think that's where some of mine came from.
Sure.
You can't measure up to one or both of your parents.
Right.
And that transposes over into our idea of God.
Right.
You know, when I got saved, yeah, I knew on one level it was by grace. But boy, if I still didn't feel like I had to earn my salvation points every day,
or
God would whack me upside the head.
Right.
You know, and I think that was part of my upbringing. Because wherever it comes from, but, you know, church, family, but if you internalize that in order to be loved, you have to measure up somehow, you know, that carries over into your spiritual life.
So the verse is coming to me right now, Ephesians 2:5, that it's by grace we've been saved through faith. And it's not about ourselves and what we do. It's not about works. It's not about that. It's a gift, it says in Ephesians 2:5. It's a gift of God, the salvation. Woo, that's kind of good news, isn't it?
How many of us have trouble accepting gifts on our birthday?
Right.
Or on Christmas? Do we say, oh, I don't deserve this.
Right.
Let me give it back to you. And yet I know I struggled a lot with grace and accepting the free gift of salvation.
Amen.
Because I kept wanting to give it back. I haven't earned this.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't do that with any other gift.
Right.
But sometimes we do it with salvation.
And so often the devil tricks us into thinking we're not worthy and that we can't be saved. We're going to have a great show here. You two are just, you're fired up. I can tell. Because we had a great service this morning.
Oh, we had a great service this
morning. Yeah. This is a brand new song. I have not heard it. And Connie, our musical director for the show, she puts these crazy songs on. This one, it's not crazy. It's really a good song by Chris Tomlin. But I love the title, God's Great Dance Floor. Wow. Here we go.
Heart. Now I surrender, take me.
on God's great dance floor? Woo! I think the Lord loves it when we make music like that and enjoy singing about Him. Come alive on God's great dance floor. Man, that kind of reminds me of PJ, right, with the tambourine in his hand how he gets to acting, you know, and just kind of crazy.
He works that tambourine so
Doesn't he?
He's like a professional at the tambourine.
I know, but he really is. God's great dance floor. We got a lot to be happy about and rejoice about. Mm-hmm. And to this theme that we're talking about here in the book of 1 John is alive with five. These five chapters. Five, of course, is the number for the grace of God in the Word of God. But alive with these concepts, and I don't know about y'all, but it's doing that to me. It's just causing me to become more alive in the things of God. And this topic we're on today in chapter 4, Nan, can be summed up in one word.
Would that be love?
I believe it is.
All right.
She passed the quiz.
I listened
got the
this
answer.
Morning.
You did listen. And John, and Pastor Jim, tell our audience, some of them may have missed a little bit about John, which John this is. Just kind of refresh their minds about this and why he would be writing about this love.
This was the writer of 1 John also wrote the Gospel of John.
Right.
And 2 and 3 John and the book of Revelation. This John was not John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin.
A lot of people think that, but it's not John the Baptist.
Kind of get him confused. This John was the brother of James. And they were
And John.
They were known as the Sons of Thunder. And John could be zealous. He could let his emotions run away with him.
Okay.
But he was also the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the one at the Last Supper who was sitting closest to Jesus. And that showed a real personal relationship.
Yes.
He was part of the inner circle along with Peter and Andrew and James. I mean, those four kind of made up the inner circle, the two groups of brothers.
Right.
But yet, John was special.
Yes.
It was kind of a Jonathan David thing. You know, they just had a
loved each other.
Just had a real relationship with each other.
Right.
And I think John understood, and I said this last week, John understood the heart of God.
He sure did.
More so than any of the other apostles. Even Paul. I think John had that knowledge, that true knowledge of God's heart, of what was in Jesus' heart. And that's why I think he spent so much time talking about love. And I think that's also why, you know, especially in 1 John, It's a defense of the gospel. It's a defense of truth and righteousness and love. And I think that's why John was the perfect person to write, because he had that zeal.
Right.
And yet it was tempered. He was able to temper it so it didn't come off like, you know, I'm going to, like he did with the Samaritans, I'm going to call fire down on you. It wasn't that. He said, okay, these are the tests.
Right.
This is how you know that you're a true Christian.
Exactly.
And the test we've all through John, 1 John 4, is love.
It's love.
Do you love or do you not love?
That's
isn't it?
In essence, that's what John is saying here. Let's start with verse 7 of 1 John 4. We really covered the first part of chapter 4 a lot last week. Again, if you missed that, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and listen to that show because it was amazing. Verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. My beloved friends, I'm reading out of the Message Bible. Let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Let's continue to do that. You know, we can do that initially. You know, a lot of times when people first get saved, they go, oh, I love Jesus. And, you know, they even sing that song, oh, how I love Jesus. But life takes its toll. Life kind of moves in and gets our priorities shifted. And sometimes we forget that first love. I have been listening to this amazing CD series this week by Graham Cook, which we all love his teaching. And it's on first love. And it reminds me, PJ, about Revelation chapter 2.
The church of Ephesus.
Where John writes and he says, don't forget your first love. You know, get your priorities rearranged and straightened out. Because so often that's what happens to Christians. I mean, there's that initial, wow, I'm saved, I love Jesus, and wow, You know, back in our day, quote unquote, which was a while back, we would call us Jesus people. Remember those? Were you one of those?
I was a Jesus freak.
Yeah, Jesus freak. And Jesus people were really very, very into the word, and but it in an emotional state, right? More than just deep teaching. It was more of an emotional frenzy.
Yeah, at first, I mean, just the history of the movement, at first it was very, I hate to use the word superficial because that's not quite the right word, but it was, it hadn't found its depth yet.
Right, yes.
And eventually, through like Navigators, InterVarsity,
right.
Campus Crusade for Christ, organizations like that, it found its depth.
Yes.
But just like, but that's kind of like the early church that so parallels the book of Acts. At first it was, oh, woohoo, we got the Holy Ghost and, you know, speaking in tongues and all that. And everything was kind of, it hadn't developed depth. And then, you know, Paul and John, Peter wrote their epistles. The church started to develop depth.
Right.
But then look, the church at Ephesus is the first one that John mentions, and he says, you left your first love.
Right.
You got all the doctrine right.
But what happened?
But you forgot about love.
Yes, yes.
You know, and Jesus called them to repent.
Right. And really, that's the essence of what John is trying to say here in this whole book of 1 John. He's trying to say, get back to the real thing. The real thing is love. It's not about what color of, or what color. Whether what you have a skirt on today, Nan, I see you do not have a skirt on, so that's okay. I mean.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, at least there's shorts that go almost to my knees.
So oh, okay.
Can that kind of count for 50%?
But didn't you grow up in an environment, Nan, where there was a lot of legalism? That's really the point I'm trying to make.
I was not permitted to do all the things we've talked about on the show before.
Right.
You know, cut. You know, the hair wasn't supposed to cut. No jewelry, no makeup, no pants, no shorts.
And they stopped you from chewing tobacco, too, right?
Well, luckily, I wasn't really. That was not some of the strongest things that I had, so it was minimal impact when
I'm
they made me quit doing
you.
That.
Yes.
Well, you know, I would say I got a part-time job in 12th grade, and I had a car that my parents had given me. And so what I did with some of my money is I hadn't thought about that till since then, but I bought two pairs of jeans.
Wow.
And I would leave them in my locker at school. And there were times that I would change out of the skirt that I was wearing.
Right.
And put on my jeans just to try to feel like I fit in with my friends. Because
right.
It was, I mean, everybody was wearing, you know, jeans and pants and
right.
You know, I wasn't permitted to do that.
Yeah.
One of the things I did after I got married, I think I quit wearing skirts and
right.
dresses and
yeah.
only wore shorts and pants because now I was in my own place and could do that. And to this day, my mother still does not wear a pair of pants or shorts.
Right. And some people are still in those traditions that they feel that those things are biblical to not wear, you know, pants or whatever. I think it's interesting on that particular subject that in the early days in the church, the men wore the robes and the mm-hmm. women wore more of a like a pantaloon type thing. I've read that in different commentaries.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was the other way around back then, you know, but yet by the time it gets down to this generation, it's different.
Well, I mean, it had nothing to do really. Well, we know holiness has nothing to do with dress.
Right.
Or whatever. And it certainly didn't back then because everybody pretty much dressed the same.
Right.
You know, everybody was pretty much covered the same way.
Right.
So there wasn't.
Yeah.
There wasn't too much you could do about it.
And we don't see Jesus talking about it anywhere either.
No.
About what you wear. Right.
No.
In fact, in Matthew 6, Jesus said, quit worrying about what you're going to put on. Quit worrying about where your next meal's coming from and all those other things. Instead, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So the bottom line here that we're talking about is that John had the heart of Jesus. He was right there with him all the time, walking the earth with him. John was just, I mean, he was his buddy. He heard what Jesus said. He heard the teachings. He wrote that fabulous book of the Gospel of John, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible, where he just talks and talks about what the Father is really like, the Holy Spirit. It's just the greatest teaching on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's really amazing. So, Nan, we come to a point in our lives where we say, wait a minute, it's not about all those rules and regulations? Not really?
We do come to that point. You know, as an adult, the one thing we used to say that in the church that they would spend so much time, how did it go? Pastor Jim maybe have to tell me that they spend so much time talking about the don'ts, they don't tell you about the do's.
Right.
You know, and there again, the legalistic kind of, right. of stuff that goes on. And, you know, at some point, you begin to draw your own conclusion based upon what you read in the Word.
Right.
That it is not all necessarily about, you know, obviously you want to be dressed decently. Okay,
sure.
That's a given. But as far as, you know, like I said, back in the old days, it was the guys wearing the robes.
Right.
So it just kind of got switched through the years, and all of a sudden it becomes a legalistic point. I can remember my grandmother, bless her soul, who is now deceased, probably about 15 years ago, had a long conversation with her on the phone. And she called them little doodads. Little doodads have made it into the church. Little doodads are, and she was referring to jewelry, makeup.
Oh, doodads.
Doodads.
Oh,
doodads.
Okay.
And,
jewelry,
you know,
and makeup.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I just listened to her out of respect, and there was no sense in discussing
right.
it with her, you know. But,
right.
you know, at some point, I think we come to our own conclusion as we spend time in the Word and the people that we have around us who help to instruct us and teach us things
Absolutely.
From the Word. We come to realization that's not what it's all about.
Well, what it's all about is love. So if you're in 1 John 4:7 with me, everyone who loves is born of God. There's the test right there that you're talking about, PJ. You got to love to be actually walking the way God wants you to walk mm-hmm. and experiences a relationship with God. The whole key of all of this, the whole essence of getting saved is not just for fire insurance. And I think we say this all the time, but that's okay. It's not just for fire insurance. It's to have this personal relationship with God. And I think when we people major on all the don'ts, like you were just mm-hmm. talking about, Nan, get hung up on what I can't do and da, 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 they forget that it's all about a personal relationship mm-hmm. with God. That's what it is about.
Yeah. And you can try to be, good.
Right.
And you can try to do the right thing. And you might even succeed some of the time. But it's not going to be enough.
No.
And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
Because we are so helpless.
Right.
No matter what we do, we have to finally cry out to Jesus, to quote from that third day song. We have no choice. Because we can't do it. And
we can't do
and
it.
Our own striving just leads to frustration and anger. And all we have to do is just let Him do it and let His love work in us.
Amen.
And then we can love other people.
And there are going to be people that are difficult to love. There
no.
are. I mean, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right, Nan?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I've had a few in my life, let me tell you.
Right. I mean, we all have, you know,
right.
that there are times we run into people and we go, whoa, that person just rubs me the wrong way. I just like don't want anything to do with them. I'm going to stay 50 feet away, 10-foot pole. They're not coming near me. Right? But Jesus does not say to us, that's okay. Be sure you know, put those over here in a category and stay away from them, and then have the others that you like and they're your buddies over here, and then the ones that you just love, you know, and they're great. God does not give us that out. Talk to me about that, Nan, because I think a lot of times in our humanness, we want that out, and we feel like it's okay to not love some people. You know, we gotta be real selective who we give God's love to, you know?
I can recall when my husband and I were in leadership at our church, there was a lady who was really a very unlovable lady. And
okay.
it was because of her attitude.
Right.
And always
yes.
battling, just always trying to battle and cause problems. And, you know, and we still had to love her. And that really was difficult. You grow a lot. You grow a lot when you have those kind of people in your life, you know, and it keeps you.
It doesn't mean you agree with everything
correct.
They say or do, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't agree with their actions. There
right.
was, like you spoke this morning, is you don't dislike the person.
Right.
You dislike their actions.
Right.
And the true heart of people does come through many times situations. And yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have this all down pat perfectly 100% of my ability.
Really?
Because there's,
usually you tell me you do. You got it all together.
I have it all together in some areas.
I'm teasing you, Nan. I'm teasing you.
I know
that. No, none of us have it all together. We don't, you know. But here's where we're striving for. Mm-hmm. Here's where we're headed for. And the person who refuses to love, now I'm in the third line of the Message Bible here, 1 John 4:7. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. So you can't know him if you don't love. And I just had to gloss over that today and go on, because there was so much more I was trying to cover. But I think this is a very good point here, Pastor Jim. The person who refuses to love. Now, wait a minute. Refuses to love? Are there people who say, no, I'm not going to love. I am going to rah, 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 rah. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be whatever. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and that's pretty stark. I mean, that's a pretty stark statement.
Isn't that hugely,
you know?
Yeah, wow.
Look,
strong.
John's saying, look, if you don't love, you're not saved.
That's exactly what he's saying here.
You know, that's pretty...
Wait a minute. It doesn't have to do with chewing tobacco or any of that. It's if you don't love. Is that really what it says right here?
Yeah. And that's John's test. If you don't love... And he, you know, the rest of this chapter basically is what kind of expands on that. But he's saying if you can't love,
right,
then don't be so sure that you're saved.
Okay, but what about when somebody really offends you? I'm going to go to Nan for this. Somebody hurts your feelings.
Okay.
Somebody steps over the line and tells you off and treats you bad behind your back, and you find out about it, and you hear that so-and-so is saying this about you, okay? Because, you know, it always amazes me that people can say that, do their trash talk and think nobody's going to tell the person they're talking about. I don't know. But anyway, okay, so you have these situations happen, and you find out somebody's been trash-talking you, okay?
Well, I have a situation like that in my life.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
No, I didn't know you were going to say that, but...
I know you didn't.
We probably all have something like that.
Go ahead. But I have a coworker who...
Okay.
Actually, she's my buddy, always comes up, hugs me.
Oh, that's the worst kind. The sweetie ones, you know? Ooh.
And yet, when I was on medical leave a little over a year ago... For a couple months, she sat at my desk to help fulfill the duties of what I was supposed to do. She was telling people it was piece of cake. She could be the principal secretary, no problem. And I've seen her do stuff literally behind my back, and then I would know that, and you know, and then she even said some stuff to my face, and I called her down on that because it was inappropriate what she said in front of some other people, parents and district people. But I mean, it's like, I still have to love her with the love of the Lord, and it's pushed it with me sometimes. And I've thank God at this point have reasonably mastered being able to look past her actions.
And how did you do that?
With God's help. That's the only way, because I mean, I don't like people to trash me.
Right.
I mean, I'm basically a pretty decent human being. I'll do anything I can for you, for the most part, except for your past.
Yeah, I hear you're pretty decent, yeah.
But, you know, and I don't like people doing that to me.
Right. No, well, of course not. None of us like to be put down.
It's not fair. It's just ridiculous. I mean, but with God's help, he's helped me to be able to love her.
Well, and I assume you've had to forgive her.
I did have to forgive her, and that was difficult for me to do, too.
But just a couple of things, because earlier I was thinking that the scripture where Jesus says, if you don't forgive your brother from your heart, God's not going to forgive you.
Oh, my.
And that ties together with this.
Yes.
Because as you've said before, Pastor, forgiveness does not mean it can ever be made right.
Right.
And it's the same thing with love. You know, we may not love what somebody does to us or says about us. Okay, but we're commanded to love.
Right.
And I was thinking, and I know I brought it up again, and readers, you're going to hear me say, or listeners, you're going to hear me say it again, but that story about Corrie ten Boom,
yeah,
who hid Jews in her house,
right,
she and her family, during World War II in Holland. They were caught. She and her sister were sent to a concentration camp.
Right.
And she had a ministry ministering to people about God's grace after that, because, you know, she had been to hell and come back, and God was with her the whole way. And she always talked about love and forgiveness. And she was ministering in a church in Germany, And a person came up after she spoke, and she immediately recognized him, although he didn't recognize her. But she recognized him as one of the prison guards that stood over her in the Ravensbrück prison camp.
Oh, boy.
And here, everything she just talked about was how you have to love other people and forgive and all that. And she said she had to ask God, you know, because the guy stuck out his hand to shake Corey's hand. And she prayed, God, you're going to have to move my hand because I can't.
Right.
She said, I can't. I know what I'm commanded to do. And I'll reach out, but you've got to do everything
else.
And
that's huge.
And she shook the guy. She shook the former guard's hand, and she said, right then, she just felt such a great love for this guy.
Whoa!
And you know, and forgiveness, and you know, I guess part of it is, you know, we tend to hold on to those little
right.
grudges. Well, so and so called me a liar, or so and so did
exactly.
this, or so and so did
exactly.
that,
exactly.
Did so-and-so stand over you with a whip?
Right.
You know, I mean, come on.
Right.
You know, I always think about how severe that mm-hmm. had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in God, Corey was able to forgive this prison guard.
Right.
And, you know, and there's the catch, though. It has to be in God. We're commanded to love, but we can only do it with God.
Absolutely.
There's no other way.
Because
no other way to do
God knows that this is best for us. Being a mother, and Nan, you were too, and you're a father, PJ. And there were times when my kids were little that I'd say, okay, wait a minute. You cannot go out until you're bundled up because, you know, it's 20 degrees outside and I know you want to play in the snow, but you're going to wear, you know, because PJ and I are from Indiana. You're going to wear your heavy coat, and you're going to put this.
Your gloves,
you're going to put your boots on.
Your cap.
Yeah, you're going to do all that. I don't want to wear that, you know. And while you're going to, you're going to wear that, and if you want to play outside, you got to wear that. And well, why? Why do I have to? Because you'll get cold and you'll get sick, you know. Because as a parent, we knew that we could not just let our kids be out there. We could get a frostbite. They could get ill, catch a cold, and get pneumonia. They could get all these things. And we knew as parents, this was the best thing for them to do, right? A little metaphor where it comes to God and him being our Heavenly Father. He knows, Nan, that it's best for us to love the unlovely. He knows that when we do that, that's like your story you just told, BJ. Corey Ten Boom had to reach out her hand, and God the Father knew that if she would just reach out her hand and take the hand of this person who had mistreated her, mm-hmm. that her heart would melt. Right?
Right.
And even though my kids would argue with me, I don't want to wear my mittens and I don't want to wear my boots, you know, when they didn't come down with pneumonia and whatever, you know, I mean, sure, they didn't correlate. Oh, I'm so glad Mama made her wear our stuff. But you know what? It's that reaction. The loving parent says, I know what's best for you. Trust me. Trust me. So, Nan, when we are faced with somebody that is very difficult, that is talking behind our backs, they are lying about us, they are saying nasty things, God has an amazing ability, and to me it's kind of comical, where he goes, I know what's best for you. Hang on here. I'm just going to put them in your lap or in your path, and you're going to have to react to them. And this lady that's treated you wrongly, you've kind of overcome that situation now at work?
Yes.
And you still were treated her nice?
Absolutely.
You were loving?
Yes.
And now it's not so hard?
No, it's not. I mean, she comes up and still hugs me all the time. And I just kind of hug her back. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, interesting.
But your loving Heavenly Father knows how to make this love thing work.
Right.
Okay? In our humanness, we don't know how to make it work. We think we have to retaliate. We think we have to be, you know, let them know. I want to speak my mind. You know? And when we speak our mind, it just doesn't work. People don't respond to hatred and bitterness.
What comes to mind, I know I've made reference, not necessarily this particular part of it, but, you know, when I was married, and then we divorced.
Yes.
And it was real nasty.
Yes.
And, I mean, I had people who knew me that he was running his mouth to them. He calls me so much different types of legal issues there for a period of time that I really didn't like him at all.
Well, sure.
Because he was causing me, he was costing me money.
Right.
And it was causing me problems and pain, and I'd think
right.
about him, and I didn't like him, and I this and that, you know. And then it's like just all of a sudden through time, God helped me. I actually was invited to go to his mother's memorial service.
Oh, wow, that's
and
right.
And when I saw him, I went to shake his hand, and he grabbed me and embraced me and hugged me.
Woo!
And that was not offensive to me.
Right.
Whereas before, if I hadn't reached a point of being able to forgive him
right.
for all that he did and all that he cost me and all that kind of stuff, that would, I probably wouldn't be in the funeral, actually.
Right.
But you know, that was my son's grandmother, though.
Right.
You know, and so that family tie there. But, you know, when you can reach a point that you can truly forgive
right.
and move forward, there's such a freedom in that forgiveness that I didn't understand earlier on in our separation and our divorce and the legal. I didn't understand that concept. I didn't have it.
But see, God understands that because he is forgiveness and he is love. And so when he says to us, you got to forgive, he doesn't say, oh, if you feel like it. I don't know of a verse that says, forgive if you feel like it. And if you don't, just revisit it again, like five years later or something. I don't know a verse like that. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done to us. It means we let it go. They don't owe us anymore and they can't make it right.
Well, and forgiveness, like love, are acts of your will.
Oh, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not, you know, we think of love as being an emotion and not God's love, not agape love. Agape love is a decision that's an act of your will.
That's right.
It's I'm choosing to love you no matter what.
Right.
Whereas brotherly love, phileo, you know, eros, sexual love, that's all emotional.
Right.
But agape is saying, you know, I'm going to love you no matter what. The same thing with forgiveness.
Right.
We're commanded to forgive. We're commanded to love. And those are acts of our will.
Right.
You know, I may say Nan, she hasn't, but let's just say Nan did something to me that...
it's always possible, you know, though. No,
it's all I suppose.
It is.
Right.
But let's say I needed to forgive Nan for something.
Right.
I, you know, it's an act of my will. I forgive Nan. It's
right.
done. She
right.
can't change what happened, but I choose to forgive, to let the offense be gone. Now, what happens is the feeling creeps in. Well, you know, have you really forgiven her?
We feel entitled
we
to
feel
be mean,
entitled
be
to be
bitter
angry.
And angry.
Yeah.
Yes, well, yes.
And then you just have to say, no, I've forgiven her. I don't have to accept these feelings.
Right. And those feelings don't come from God. God
no.
is love. It says it right here, 1 John 4:8. It doesn't say that God is full of anger and bitterness and resentment and all of that. God is not. He is love. And that's why he says, you got to be like me, he says to us. I'm full of love. You got to be full of love. Oh, my. God is love, so you can't know him if you don't love. I know a lot of people who call themselves, quote unquote, Christian, but their lives certainly don't reflect love. I've known people like that in my past, and I think we all have.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a typo here, Nan? is this a typo? You can't know him if you don't love?
I don't think it's a typo.
Oh, well, I don't think it was on purpose. You think it was intentionally put there?
It was intentionally put there.
But that's a drastic statement. You can't know God if you don't love. Because God's whole nature is love.
Love.
So how are you going to know him? You would know love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once we know that he is love, and if we want a relationship with him, we're going to have to get on the same plane, you know, the same place. Even social media, Facebook, you gotta like be friends with somebody on Facebook, you know, to get that real relationship going. And it's so much better when we just talk face to face, in my opinion. But
right.
But anyway, because God is love, and how did God show us His love? It goes on here to say, he did this by sending his son. He loved his son. And I don't know, we must quote John 3:16 almost every show. For God so loved the world. That's it. It does not say for God was so much in judgment against us. It says for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, does that include you?
That includes me.
Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love the next verse that we don't quote very much, John 3:17.
For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world.
That's right.
But that the world might have life through him.
Right. Yes.
You know.
So it's not about judgment. It's not about condemnation. It is not at all about that. Whoa. This is a great song. Let's do this. Point of Grace is the name of the group. They're very good. This song is Only Jesus, and we're glad you're with us today. Only Jesus.
A sister breaks a promise. A leader tells a lie. A wife tells her husband it only happened just one time. A man knows it wasn't innocent how he came upon his wealth. A preacher looks in the mirror, says, how can I?
Can handle all all of life's issues that come our way. And there are so many of them that we each encounter. Some of you out there in Radio Land today may be going through a difficult time, a heartache, a trauma. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost a loved one that is close to you. This morning during our service, and I didn't see it till afterwards, of course, because I didn't have my phone on, but there was a heartfelt prayer request sent into our prayer team today, PJ. And it was just so overwhelming, the things this person is going through. And if you're listening today, we are praying for you. And we are taking your need. Carol immediately sent it out to our prayer team. And, you know, you can be a part of the prayer ministry and send your requests in to us. And we'll talk more about that at the top of the hour. But we so appreciate that this person, we've never met, we don't know her, reached out today with the drastic circumstances going on in her life. And here is the answer, dear one. It's only Jesus. When life has thrown you so many situations that seem so overwhelming, it is only Jesus sometimes. I mean, always. But, I mean, sometimes there's nothing you can even do for yourself to remedy your mess. But you need Jesus, and God is love, and he loves you so much. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter. And I just feel very impressed to do that right now for some of you, because it is all about attitude adjustments, PJ. And I think a lot of us never knew that it's about that. We didn't realize that God could teach us how to behave better, how to receive the blessings and the answers to prayer from the God who is love. And a lot of times we can't receive, Nan, because we're just all boggled up on the inside with resentments and bitterness and things that just won't let go of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. That was the right answer, Nan. It was yes.
Well,
that was a Connie answer.
That was a Connie. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm been training under Connie.
You have,
know,
yes.
In case she's hearing
have.
This, Connie, you're doing a great job training me here.
Yes.
We do have all those things so bottled up and up inside of us, and we don't want to let go of things, and so-and-so did me wrong, and they did. I mean, they did, you know, but it cuts off. It cuts off the
love flow.
Yeah,
it does. It cuts
that off when we have all that stuff happening. We can't.
What happens when you have a clot in an artery? What happens? It cuts off the blood flow, the correct blood flow, right to your brain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a stroke happens, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Something happens and you react. Your body reacts because there is an obstruction in that vein. Correct. And I think a lot of times, PJ, our love flow, not our blood flow, but, our love flow is clogged by our resentments, our hurts, our memories of the past and how we were treated. And, well, if they treated me, I'm going to just treat them like that myself. You know?
Absolutely. And,
our love flow.
Yeah, it's like damming up a stream.
Yes.
You know, it's there's a scripture in Romans chapter 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
I meant to mention that verse this morning.
By the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And
yes.
I always looked at that as kind of just like this well, almost like a geyser of love flowing up. And, you know, all those things that you mentioned, you know, bitterness, hatred, resentment, anger, all that kind of puts little rocks in the well, if you will.
Yes, yes.
And it stops it up.
Right.
And you can't draw any water out of that if it's all stopped up.
Right.
And so God has to unstop it.
Amen.
You know, God will point it out. We're the one that has to remove those rocks of anger and bitterness.
We do.
You know, God will point out, you know, there's a big old rock of bitterness down there. You need to get rid of that.
Kind of reminds me of my vacuum sweeper. My vacuum sweeper doesn't work very good sometimes when it gets all clogged up, you know, in part of the tube, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I can stand there and say, you had better start working right now. You're going to have to run that. You know, I've got company coming. I got to run the sweeper, blah, blah, blah. And I can yell at the sweeper all I want. But until I turn it off, unplug it, and take that little piece apart and clean that out, it's not going to run the way it needs to run.
Right.
Right? And this is what happens so often. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We need an attitude adjustment. And Paul says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but if I don't love, I'm nothing but the cracking, creaking of a rusty gate. Have you ever heard a gate? It's all...
I might just toss in here, and Connie, if you're listening, this might be a good song for next week. For King and Country uses these scriptures
really?
In one of the songs that they sing about, let my life be the proof of your love.
Ooh, for King and Country,
for
okay.
King and Country. And they quote this at the end of the song.
Woo! Well, and that's...
From the Message, no
From
less.
The Message Bible. I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day. And if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, Joan of Arc, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. So, Nan, people can preach strongly. They can preach with power, it says. They can, you know, they can be full of faith, you know, and they can speak to a mountain and command the mountain to move in the name of Jesus. But if there is no love there, what's wrong? Do they know God?
Well, the word says they don't.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can act in certain ways and do certain, have faith, have this, have that. But like the word is saying, without God's love.
Right.
You don't know God.
Right.
I mean, you don't know, you know, you don't know God.
I think some people get caught up, Pastor Jim, you're right, Nan, on that. They get caught up in this thing of such legalism and such hatred that they lose that the whole love message.
Well, that and I agree. And it's in here that people get hung up on, well, I speak in tongues. I must be a good Christian.
Right.
I have great faith. I must be a good Christian. And Paul says, no.
Right.
No, not necessarily.
Right.
You just happen to be open to that particular manifestation. But Paul says, you know, it's love.
It's
most important. I mean, going back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I show you a still more excellent way, one that's better by far and the highest of them all, love.
Love, the highest of them all. Because that is God's character.
Mm-hmm.
So when we make excuses, Nan, for our stinking rotten behavior, and everybody does this. We all say, but you don't know what she did to me. You don't know what she's saying behind my back. I have a right to be this angry. I have a right to be bitter. I have a right to be upset and mad. And I have a right to tell 1,500 of my closest friends on Facebook about it, too. That just irks me, by the way. So
I have a relative that does that.
I mean, seriously, I just don't even get on there anymore. I don't want to see somebody's barrage, you know, of hatred mm-hmm. that they spew out because they know they got an audience, you know. But, Nan, when people say I have the right to be like that, what do we say? What do we say?
Well, in the eyes of the world,
right.
You have a right to be like that. In the eyes of God, you don't. I mean, he
right.
has set the example before us clearly
right.
that we are to love. If we know him, we will love them. And so many more blessings come our way
oh.
when we're walking in that love. You know, because that it's not clogged up. Like you were
right.
talking about, it's not clogged up. And that the love flow is going.
Right.
And so many more blessings we receive when we're walking in
but
that love.
But the devil works overtime to convince us that that's not the way it works. Because he'll whisper in our ear, you should be mad about this. You should really be upset about this. Because didn't you hear what so-and-so said about you?
Yeah. Don't you care that so-and-so said that about you? Or don't you care that so-and-so is getting a better promotion or looks better at work than you do?
Stuff like that.
Things like that. And that, you know, you can really get bitter about stuff like that.
You can.
And, you know, again, Paul says, no. The word, the Bible from beginning to end says, no, you don't have a right to hold on to that.
Right.
You know, Romans 12, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, saith the Lord, I will repay.
And,
you know, we're not to take vengeance, whether it's an actual act or even thinking it in our heads. You know, because in what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount is, you think it in your head, it's as bad as if you did it.
Exactly. Especially if you dwell on it.
You're right.
Right.
Well, you know, in kind of piggybacking off what Pastor Jim said, you know, you forgive. You do that initial thing of, I really forgive this person. Satan comes along with those thoughts.
Absolutely,
you know,
he
does. Of, you know, look what you did. You know, and it can if you allow it, it can kind of try to confuse you in that, you know, I do have a right to hold that against that person.
Right.
You know, and it's like my own life, I've had those times when he would come to me, it's like, nope, I could point back. Remember, you know, 2 months ago, I forgave this person, and I'm not picking that back up again because I have a freedom within myself, because you get freed yourself when you
absolutely
forgive people.
Absolutely,
and
do.
Then when you know, then you can move forward in the love for that person.
Right.
Then you're blessed because of that.
Absolutely.
I believe God blesses you because of loving the unlovable.
Amen. We have internet up now, and you can write us right now during the show and comment, question. Put a question out there. You can comment. Tell Nan how cute she looks as she grows out her hair right now. And I think it's growing right now. And you can do that at pastor@bohmglobal.com. And we would love to hear from you. Because this is a topic, I think, Nan, that really causes a lot of problems in churches everywhere. People get, quote unquote, on a high horse. You know, they get mad about this. Did you hear? And the gossip trail through a church or through an office or through a family is amazing how quick that stuff happens. I mean, it really happens quick. It's like lightning, man, from one to the other, real quick.
I was thinking of one thing up in southern Georgia, in the town where my parents are from. There's just only so many of this particular denomination in that whole area. So people get mad. I was discussing this with my aunt 2 weeks ago. People get mad at one church, but they stay within that denomination.
Okay.
So they go to another church, and they eventually cycle through, and people cycle through. Well, one group of people from one church decided they were going to branch off. So what did they name their church? Unity Church of God.
Wow.
So, of course, my father was talking with one of the guys that was kind of in charge and said, you know, you branched off. You got upset at a church.
Right.
The pastor, whatever. You built a beautiful, beautiful building, by the way. Beautiful church. And you call it Unity Church. How do you have the guts to call it Unity Church of God? And he says, we're all in unity here. You know, but they literally broke off, got upset. Feelings got hurt. People,
right.
You know,
it's
you know,
a story of
just, I mean, I've, you know, the stories about how people would almost leave the church because they didn't like the color carpet that was chosen to go down the center aisle.
Absolutely.
I mean, my goodness, how petty is that?
Right. Yeah.
How petty is that?
It's common.
Unfortunately.
It's petty and it's common and it's hurtful. But Jesus says, wait a minute, do you really know God? If that's the kind of attitude you have and you're living, I didn't realize it was almost 4 o'clock. Hey, it is so good to be on the air with you today. We'll be right back in just a minute. Let's do station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to our second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia. Nan is here with me and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. And you guys are kind of spunky today about this topic, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. She's very quick. She is.
Jump right in there, Nan.
Yeah, just jump right. Oh, yeah. Please talk, Nan. No. We like to tease her. But we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 right now, if you have your Bible and like to join us. We're having a very lively discussion about You know, are we really saved? Do we really know God? Are we really in personal relationship with God, PJ, if we don't love?
You know, I sometimes get your penchant for coming up with cute, like, sermon titles.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What you got?
Love them or leave him.
Ooh, I love that.
You know, it's kind of...
Love them or leave him.
You know,
okay.
That's kind of the choice we have.
Wow, I like that. Yeah. Love them or leave them. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. It's
wow.
Love them or leave him, you know.
It reminds me of that series I did a few years back, Offense. I think you were around for that, mm-hmm. weren't you? Offense,
yes.
Take it or
take
leave it.
Take it or leave it.
You know, take it or leave it. Take offense or leave it. Let it go, you know. And I think so often, love them or leave him. It's true. You know, we can't be the person that God wants us to be or live up to our potential in him if we are constantly angry, resentful, you know, full of hurt and bitterness, and we don't deal with those things, if we don't have right. the attitude adjustments that we need to. We'll come back to this discussion in just a minute. We're so glad you've joined us. Nan, tell us about our prayer ministry and why is that so vitally important?
Well, if you have a prayer need, as we all do from time to time, you can call, you can email, Lord help me, you can email into the website that you will share, and
put prayers in prayers@bohmglobal.com.
All right. You put in your prayer request. Prayer request is then picked up by one of the inner circle of people on the prayer team.
Sure.
They put that back out to the people who are on the prayer team.
Right.
Also includes a prayer. And
right.
that way, sometimes if you don't necessarily know how to pray about the situation, you can pray that prayer over the
right.
situation. And we've seen many, many, many things have people of cancer healed.
Yes.
You know, they would go back in for tests, couldn't find it. I mean,
right.
just all types
all
of things.
All kinds of things.
Exactly. There you go. All types
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, it wasn't cancer that I know of, but, you know, I had that medical issue
yes.
and couldn't find a thing.
Right. Yes.
Ran an MRI, gave me, you know, they...
And you had an issue
some
before.
Looking around
yeah.
up there and nothing
yeah,
there.
Yeah, praise God.
Well, the other thing about that is if someone wants to be on the prayer team.
Right.
Just send into our address and say, I want to be on the prayer team. And then they would then get these emails as
right.
they are.
And you don't have to
no.
come to Beacon of Hope Church in Clearwater to be a part of the prayer team. Because
right.
this is a global ministry. So that address is prayers@bohmglobal. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we want you to use the prayer, to use it. I mean, like this lady who did today, and her, mm-hmm. her prayer request was so serious and so heartfelt, you know. And so we want you, we invite you out there in Radio Land, use our prayer ministry email. Let's just make use of it. That's what it's all about.
Pastor,
go ahead.
I one time did do that, and you probably remember it quite well, too. I was having a major anxiety attack at my
yes,
office.
Yes,
and I had left my office and
right.
went walking on the property and went as far back
day.
As I could go. And I mean, I was a total basket case.
I remember
whatever
that day.
Happened. It was like, what am I going to do? Oh, God, help me. God, help me. And I sent in prayer, you know, and I started feeling better, and I was able to go back to my office with
Amen.
My composure together and conduct the duties that were there for me to do. But I believe it was the act of people praying for me at that time
Absolutely.
That got me back in that office, because I couldn't have gone back in that office.
Well, 11 weeks ago, my granddaughter, Rylan, just about lost her twin baby girls that she is carrying. And it was extremely serious. And we got a whole bunch of us praying and believing God for her to be able to go ahead and carry them and come out of this crisis. They even had her going into the labor and delivery room. I mean, it was that bad. And she was 23 weeks pregnant. Now she's 34 weeks and a half, and we can't seem to... Come on, Rylan, now it's time to have them.
Yeah.
Let's do this now, okay?
And I thought about this morning, Pastor. What did we pray for? Do you remember specifically what we prayed for?
I remember that we said that she would go at least 33 weeks, but go ahead.
And I know I specifically prayed full term, so forgive me if she carries them for 39 weeks. Rylan, I am so sorry.
It's your fault.
It may be my fault. I may have gotten a little too specific with God. But seriously, I remember some of us said, well, she's just going to carry these full term.
Full term.
And look.
Look. And the doctor told her the other day,
weeks.
She's totally out of the woods and the babies are out of the woods, so they can come and and grace us with their presence anytime. But as serious as that was, you know, and how devastating it was that day that we thought we were losing these babies, God came through, Nan, and it was a prayer request mm-hmm. that went out across the globe on our prayer team, and people were praying and believing God, and mm-hmm. we're so happy to report that I will have great-granddaughter. Well, I have them right now, but I will have them so that I can hold them here fairly soon. We'll see how soon. But anyway, this is a great song, and it's going to get us back to our discussion, and I love this song. City on a Hill by Casting Crowns. You got to listen to the words very carefully. It talks about a community of believers, a church, a ministry, a family, a city on a hill. Listen to these words. You're going to love this song.
Said one old man to the other, it once shined bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak, and the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Searching still. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that needed to be told. It is the rhythm of the dancers that gives the poet's life. It is the spirit that gives a soldier strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that's needing to be told. One by one will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all behind. As the light begins to fade in the city on the hill.
One by one, we run away with our made-up minds.
So good.
I wrote down another line in there I love. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And that's what happens in families, in churches. It happens in relationships. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. They let them, because we have power over that, do we not, Nan?
Yes, we do.
And that was the right answer again. We do, don't we, have that ability to say, wait a minute, I am not going to let this thing that has happened to me, this offense, mm-hmm. take root and become a root of bitterness and cause me to divide myself from communication and love with that other person. But we do that. That's a human thing to do. We retreat. We retreat.
We make choices.
We do.
And those
choices.
Are bad choices.
Right.
You know, and there's repercussions to those bad choices. When I chose, and I referred to him many times, but of course things were so bad. When I refused to make the choice to forgive my ex-husband, it wasn't doing a thing to him. It was eating me up.
It was eating you
eating
up.
Me up.
Right.
You know, and
yes.
then I started reaching a point of that I was able to forgive him.
Right.
And was able to love him with the love of the Lord.
Right.
Like we've already said, it doesn't mean I agreed with everything that was done, because there was some pretty bad stuff done.
We don't have to. God didn't tell us we have to agree to forgive.
But to be able to move forward in that. And there again, like I've already said, I really feel we miss out on a lot of blessings that we could be receiving because we're holding on to that unforgiveness of someone in our life. You know, I mean, just, it is so free to walk, be able to walk in the love of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, there's such a freedom. There's such a peace there.
Yes.
There's such a peace there when you do that, when you behave that way.
Absolutely. And instead, so often we let our differences divide us. And because we don't see eye to eye, you and I have been working together now, PJ, for a few years. And, you know, every once in a while, maybe there's something we don't agree on. I don't even, can't even tell you right now when was the last time on anything we didn't agree. But it doesn't matter. You and I are mature enough in our walk with the Lord to say, if we disagree on some doctrinal issue or whatever, who cares? We are working together and we love each other and we have a common goal we're going towards. Helping people see God's love.
We can get past it.
We can get past it, right.
And there are some people who can't. I mean, if you don't believe exactly the way they do.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're on the, you know, you're going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
And that's just silly.
Well, and as an attender at Beacon of Hope Ministries and seeing the way that the two of you, you know, interact, I mean, it's almost like, I'm not going to say your husband and wife, but it's, I mean, you can start a sentence, Pastor, and he can finish it.
Oh, well, yeah,
you know,
we can do
and
that.
You can do that. You
we
know?
Can.
And it's such a positive example for those of us in attendance of how unity works.
And
you
that
have
is.
That unity because of the love that you have for God and for each other.
And I have had some associate pastors in the past years ago who shall remain nameless that it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That there was like a competition, like a challenge and that kind of thing. And we don't operate like that at all. And, you know, it's exciting to know that God's love can invade our space on a daily basis, no matter what our space is, our work environment, our home environment, a relationship we're in, our family, our kids, I have a daughter-in-law. A new daughter-in-law, and I just love her to pieces. She's just wonderful. And, you know, but there are times that people have in their families a daughter-in-law or a mother-in-law. It's usually the mother-in-law thing. And so I tease her about that, you know, that I'm that mother-in-law. But, you know, where the division happens, and we don't want that. We want to learn to walk in love. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, that gets back to the whole thing. And in 1 John 4, you know, John writes, this is how, you know, this is how God shows his love for us.
Yes.
You know, not that we love, but God loves us. You know, it all starts, not only is God the author and perfecter of our faith, he's the author and perfecter of our love.
Absolutely.
Because it says it begins and ends with him. I mean, we've got, you know, Jesus, God shows us in Jesus how much he loves us. And that Jesus became the sacrifice.
Right.
For us.
That's our example. And, well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. In the Message Bible, I love this. Love never gives up. You know, that is too cool. Love never gives up. We give up on people, don't we? Sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
Love cares more for others than for self. Boy, these are going to hit us right between the eyes here, guys. love doesn't want what it doesn't have. You want to read those first couple? What translation are we in today?
Well, I've got New Living and I've got Amplified.
Oh, okay. So. Then go right ahead. Go ahead, read the first part there, because that's good stuff in the Amplified, I noticed.
Love endures long and is patient and kind.
Yeah.
Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily.
Woo. Wow, that's good stuff. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. That must be the haughtily thing.
Yes, yes,
doesn't
I believe
strut.
So.
Strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Ha! I mean, come on. If we really love somebody and care and do what God is telling us to do in this walk of love, we got to learn to put ourselves in the proper place. Mm-hmm. That little chorus I used to sing as a kid growing up in church as a preacher's kid, Jesus, others, and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Maybe you never heard that. It's a little chorus. Jesus, others, and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. So love doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Now, what does the Amplified say right there?
Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way.
Wow.
It's not self-seeking.
Wow. You know, and we talk about this on the show a lot, but I think one of the biggest problems this world has right now is that people are all out for themselves, you know? And I guess maybe that's one reason I'm not crazy about social media, too, because it's just all about me. You know, I did this and I did that. And that's great to an extent, but we can get so caught up in that me thing that we lose sight of the love we're supposed to be giving out for everybody else.
Well, and I think what the Amplified says here does not insist on its own rights. I mean,
right.
Everybody's just wait. Well, I like the next line, too. It's not self-seeking, not touchy or fretful or resentful.
Not touchy.
Because people are just way too touchy today.
Yes.
You know, you say the wrong thing and it's you get accused of this or that or the other thing.
Right.
People are just way too touchy.
Why is that?
Well, I think part of it's because we're getting close to the end.
Right.
And it goes back to that, you know, demanding our own rights.
Right.
Don't you dare tell me what I can and cannot do. I am a God unto myself.
Right. That's what the
I make the
feeling
rules.
Is. Right.
That's kind of what the feeling is. And heaven forbid you should tell me I'm wrong.
Right.
Or, just getting, you know, how confront me with something.
Well,
you know,
see,
how dare you confront me because.
Right.
I won't stand for it. You're going against my rights.
Right, right.
And Paul says, wait a minute, that's not love.
That's not love. The devil will work overtime to get you preoccupied with how you're being treated.
Yeah.
Okay? He will. The devil will, and he will say, oh, well, did you see how so-and-so didn't speak to you? Or did you see how they didn't really hug you? You know, you wanted to hug them and they didn't hug you, or they didn't speak to you, or they didn't come and spend time talking to you. The devil works overtime with that stuff, especially, I think, in churches.
Oh,
it's bad. It really is. Nan, did you want to comment on that?
Well, I we've always heard the story of, well, the pastor didn't hug my neck today. You know?
Right. And you're the one that used to yell at me about that, too. Yeah.
You weren't supposed to tell people.
I'm teasing.
But it fixed
I'm
you, didn't
teasing.
It?
Mary's like going, really? No, I'm just teasing.
You know, but I mean, let's just use that as an example. Let's use the pastor as an example. You know, you have X amount of people in a service.
Right.
And there may be one particular person that kind of winds up greeting you greet them, and for some reason, they're needing 2 minutes of your time.
That happened to me this morning at the end of the service.
Okay, which it doesn't mean that they say, do you have 2 minutes now? But the conversation would just ensue.
That's what happened.
And then some people, I mean, if they hang around long enough, they would be able to hug your neck or you hug
right.
them.
Right.
But they scoot out the door and they get offended because you didn't hug them. Well, you were involved in a little area of ministry. And that's what
happened.
That turns into many times is ministry. And you don't look at someone intentionally not hug them.
No.
You never.
Well, except for you. Well, I sometimes look at you. I'm not hugging Nan.
Why
today.
Do you think I always make a beeline to you to make sure I get my hug, Pastor?
I'm just teasing. But
you know, just so you know, she didn't hug me this morning either. So.
Oh.
She halfway hugged me. It was kind of a half hug.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah,
one of those. You know.
But I know what you're saying because after church, I'm right. also treasurer pro tem. So I'm right. doing the treasury stuff. I'm, you know, writing mm-hmm. up the stuff for the offering and writing out the checks. I don't get a chance to say goodbye to too many people. By the time I'm done, most everybody has left.
Right.
So if you're part of Beacon, just know it's because I'm doing the book. Y'all can come on, give me a hug. I'll hug you right back, just so you know.
There you go.
But again, people could take offense to that. Well, Pastor Jim never hugs me. Well, I'm sorry. It's because I'm kind of busy.
Right.
You know. That's kind of my ministry
but
after church.
But isn't the devil always putting suggestions into people's heads about how they've been offended or how they've been hurt? And so they tend to do this very thing, which is the next line in the Message Bible. It says, love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a big topic.
So, Nan, you're going to throw that book away where you got all those sins registered, you know, with everybody. No.
Oh, but it was growing so well.
It was growing so well.
I'm sure.
Does not fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others.
If they would spend that time that they remembering so and so did such and such and so and so did such and such, you know,
right.
If they would spend that time in a more productive way, of spending right. time in the Word, praying, learning really of God, learning of the love of God, you know, they wouldn't be doing that. They
Things
wouldn't have
would be
time.
A lot
they
better.
They wouldn't take the time. We make choices,
right?
And they choose to do that. And that's a poor choice.
And God's love working in us is so powerful. Listen to this song. We actually did it this morning. Power of Your Love by Hillsong. I love it.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renewed. Flowing from the grace that I found. Love.
that song. I can just get lost in that song. The power of God's love. PJ, when we are up against situations, and we're in here in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is saying, wait a minute, guys. It's got to be everyday behavior's got to change to really walk in the power of God's love. And if we can't do it, that's exactly the place God wants us, because he wants us to learn to trust him, especially around people who might be difficult, like Nan. And, you know, I'm sorry.
I'm back.
And, oh, you're here. Oh, okay. Didn't think she was. Anyway, no, I'm teasing her. She just knows that I tease her. But
absolutely,
there are difficult people, right, PJ?
There are lots of difficult people, and they have to be looked at as opportunities to love.
Opportunities to love. I like that. Opportunities. You know, and we learn from that.
Well, we learn how. We learn how to depend on God, because you're absolutely right. In my flesh, on my own, in me, as Paul says, nothing good dwells.
Right.
But in Christ, all good things dwell.
Amen.
And Christ lives in me. And that's why his love is shed abroad in my heart, because he's in my heart.
Right.
I just have to let that love loose. You know, I think that's part of it. We don't realize, we think we have to grit our teeth and love. You know, it's all our own effort.
Right.
But we just need to remember, we just need to tap into Jesus who's inside of us.
Right.
We just need to, you know, Lord.
Yes.
I can't do this, but you're already there and you are love. I'm just going to abide in you and trust that your love is going to come out.
And when we do things like what right here in 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. When we find that we are doing that, it's a reminder of, whoa, wait a minute. I've got to get an attitude adjustment here. I mean, God's word tells me I am not to keep score of the sins of others. And it says, doesn't revel when others grovel. What's all that in the Amplified? Let's read that.
It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong.
Right.
It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail.
Amen. That's what love is all about. You got a puzzled look
on
your face,
Nan.
Well,
yeah, no, I was just thinking, my family do not listen to this radio show, so.
So that's good that you can talk about them on the air.
I can talk about them on the air, but they're examples.
Let a lot of other people know about
them. Well, no, but no, I.
They shall remain nameless.
They shall remain nameless.
All right.
But a female in my life. No, I can recall times of leaving church. And many times we go to Krispy Kreme. Before we get to Krispy Kreme, my mother would have already started talking about something about someone in church.
Right.
And I remember that. Yeah, I mean, as a 8, 9, 10, 12, 11, 12, 13 child age person, I can remember that. And that set a really bad example. And I think that we have to, not only for our sake, but I think for the sake of others around us, we need to set examples. Those in the church who are maybe at a stronger or a higher level than others and new people coming in, we have to live our life in such a way that we don't do these kind of things, to set an example. And I think that's a responsibility that we have of keeping that love flow going between God and us. So
Amen.
It can go out to us, to others who offend, and maybe someone new in the church sees an offense that goes on, and then they see how, say, you as a pastor or the person wronged, whatever, may handle that. They may hear how it's handled, and that's set an example.
Amen. Talk to us about that, because I do think that leaders in the congregation have a solemn responsibility. The word says that don't even desire to be a teacher of the word, because
Thank
you're
you,
going to get a stricter judgment.
Yeah. We are,
you
we
know,
will be judged.
But
more,
it's because
more
of this kind of thing. Are we walking out the love message?
And it's just incumbent upon leaders, and it's kind of inherent with our position as leaders.
Right.
People are going to look to us for an example, whether it's the pastor of a church, the president of the United States, whoever. You know, the mayor of your local town or city. People look to that person for guidance. And they also are going to, like it or not, scrutinize everything you do.
Right.
And that's why even more so than than other people. People, you know, people in positions of leadership have to walk more, I hate to use the word strictly because that sounds legalistic, but we have to walk more aware of our position and more aware that other people are looking, are kind of looking at us. And
absolutely. So when somebody comes and starts gossiping, you know, did you see so-and-so or did you hear what, you know, we've got to know how to handle that and resist that. Go ahead.
I was reminded of a situation at the church where we were leaders. And a lady come to us and was telling my husband and I da 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 about so and so, and we're like, really? Let's go talk with them.
There you go.
Let's go talk. And you know what? She didn't want to.
She didn't want to.
You know, but that's a way to stop it, because she's trying to get into our ears about someone in the church, which we were in a position that we can't get in those kind of things. We can't do that.
But the devil wants all this to go on in secret, quote unquote.
Right, exactly.
Behind, in the dark. I mean, and scripturally, when there is a problem, we are to go to that person.
We are.
And, you know, talk to us about that, PJ, learned scholar that you are.
It's so that, you're right, because things can fester in the darkness. And you know, you bring it to the light.
Mold and bacteria grow in my refrigerator in the darkness when I haven't taken that out. You know what
exactly,
I'm
but you expose them to the light.
There you go, and I throw them away.
You know, you put them out in the. Well, I'm saying you expose that to sunlight, and it just dies.
Science projects,
yeah,
no,
it just dies.
Right,
and that's what you know why Jesus set up those kind of that. Chain of command, if you will, in Matthew 18. You know, we can't allow the sickness, the sin, the gossip to fester, because if it does, it will destroy. Just like mold, it will destroy. And you know, if there's gossip, and, you know, and Jesus said, look, if somebody offends you, you go to that person, and you say, this, you know, you offend me.
You disclose it.
You disclose it to that person and say, and who knows, in some cases they may or may not be aware of what they did. If they refuse to listen, Jesus says you go back with two or three witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
If they still refuse to listen, you confront it in front of the church.
Yeah. Ooh, drastic.
And that's yeah,
but that is scriptural. As a realtor, you know, now we have, and I've been doing this 20-some years, so the more I've done this, the more disclosures there are now on every time there is a purchase or a seller has to fill out a 5-page disclosure. And I mean, all kinds of questions. But now, besides that 5-page disclosure, there is now a separate mold disclosure. Have you ever had any kind of mildew, any kind of mold in your house, and the seller has to sign it and disclose it? It has to be. Because if it's ever been there, we got to make sure it was eradicated correctly. Has there ever been a sinkhole or a crack in your house? Had a deal this week where the seller, it was my buyer, the seller said, no, never had a sinkhole or a crack like that. Came the home inspection, big old crack on the side of the house, okay? Well, guys, it's very important that we allow the light of God's word to disclose and find those areas in us that are unforgiving, that are just not pleasing God. I mean, we've got to let that out. We got to disclose it and get rid of it.
Well, Pastor Jim says something, and I wrote it down. In part of what he said is so awesome. He said that when that mold that you were talking about is exposed by the sunlight.
Good point.
S-U-N, sunlight,
right?
That it dies.
Woo.
Well, so can it be when it is exposed to the sunlight, S-O-N, light,
right.
Son of God, that it dies?
If I come to you, Nan, and I say, you know what, so-and-so said you said this, and you may have said it, but I want to talk to you about it so that we can settle it between us, because I don't want any hard feelings with you. You can either pony up and say, yep, I did, and I'm sorry, and here's what I meant by it, blah, blah, let's settle it between us, or you can lie. And and I see this in church many times. People just lie outright, look in your face, go, tch, no. you know, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. The light of God does expose our lack of love, I believe, a lot of times. And then the person has a chance to tell the truth or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't tell the truth, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Oh, you still have it, the internet up. Somebody can write if you want to. Mm-hmm. Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. So let's finish this here in 1 Corinthians 13. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love loves truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth, the Spirit of truth. Love loves the truth, okay? Puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies.
What's actually, this? I want Nan to read it out of King James.
All right, here we go.
Okay, what verses was that we were reading?
Starting with about
1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 7. It's just
7.
The King James put this.
I know it. I use this
so
in weddings, and I love the way it says it.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails.
Okay. I just love the way that that kind of flows, because it's very succinct, but it says, yeah, love bears up under anything.
Right.
And everything that comes. Love is probably the greatest power outside of the Trinity. In the universe, it bears up under all things. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Now, notice that. Love wants to believe the best for you. And Stormy O'Mardian, back in the 80s,
a long time ago.
Way back. Had a song, I'm Believing for the Best in You. Do you remember that, Nan?
Not unless I heard it. I don't believe
I'm believing
hand.
For the best in you.
Yes.
I love that song. I finally found it at flea market on an old Second Chapter of Acts CD. But it's true. That's what love believes. It believes the best of you. And, you know, its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening.
Wow.
Incredible. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end.
Whoa. But the devil tries to cause us to believe the worst about someone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
He tries to get us to believe the worst, to give up hope, and to just give up, to get weak, to weaken.
Right.
To cave, and then to fail.
Right. And what happens so often to people in churches is, oh, well, I can't stand those people. They're always talking about so-and-so and so. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I'm just going to not go to a church.
Well, and
it's exactly where the devil wants you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, we've all been in churches. We've all seen it where somebody's mad at somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one person may or may not be oblivious to what's going on. But, you know, you still have to forgive. And you still have, I mean.
You have to.
You have to. It's not an option.
It's not an option.
We wish it was. We wish it was. And, yeah, and. Again, I go back and I know, I mean, you know, I've had some, well, we've all had some pretty nasty things said about us and whatever. But you know what? In the eternal scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because as long as we love, what love does is place those hurts, that situation, squarely in God's hands.
Right.
And lets him work.
Wow.
If we love, if we forgive, then we're releasing that other person
yes.
to God so that God can work in their life. If we hold on to that grudge, we actually can keep God from doing what he wants to do in that other person's life.
Well, and so often we hold on because we think we are going to make them suffer by our disapproval, our frowns, our not hugging them. Is that why you don't hug me anymore, Nan?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course not. I always hug you, Pastor.
I know. But, you know, we control people with our attitudes of unforgiveness and bitterness. We control them that way. We think we can.
Well, and we're trying, in a sense, we're trying to be God.
Right.
We are trying to judge them and commit the judgment upon them.
Right. We want them to suffer. We want them to feel the pain and the hurt that we have felt.
And that's not our job.
No.
Not at all.
No. And it's so hard for us as Christians, I believe, to just let go and let God really do the work that needs to be done in that other person and quit trying to make them pay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens. Listen to this song and then we'll talk and wow, we don't have much time left. Finding Favor is the group. Love Stepped In.
He was preaching down off of 3rd and Main as I was passing by. He was talking kind of crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know, you'll never know how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. 'Cause I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. Every day, and all the love she has, she just gives away. So I asked her why she spends so much time on the broken and the poor, and she just smiled at me and said, I'm not who I was before.
Sometimes, and then here's God's love for us. Oh, Nan, are you done writing your poem?
One line.
One line, go ahead.
No, one line more.
One line more. Nan is, and many of you have heard her poetry through the years here on the air, and so many times God gives her a poem right on the spot, which is what's happened here again today, and she's sitting here drafting a poem, and it's really a form of God speaking to us, yeah, isn't it, PJ?
Nan's prophetic poetry.
Nan's prophetic poetry. Go for it, Nan. Read it out.
Help me to learn from. Help me to learn your love. I want to feel the freedom that comes. I want for others to see who, with your love, I've become. May others see your love that now resides in me. I truly do want others to your love in me see. Thank you for teaching me. I feel such freedom within. Each day I will walk in your love. That is how each day I'll begin.
Woo! Oh, praise God. That's great. It's always good, man. Always good. Wow.
Praise God.
So tell me, Pastor Jim, why is it that people refuse that love walk? Why is it they don't just jump in? I mean, just jump in and just say, I'll take it all. I want to be full of love. I want to walk in your goodness and your grace and your mercy and all that.
I think there's a couple of reasons. I think the two biggest reasons are a fear of commitment, because if I accept the love of God, if I accept, you know, in Jesus, that's going to mean some changes.
Right.
You know, that's going to mean some changes.
Attitude adjustments.
Right. And, you know, I mean, we'll be getting to it, I'm sure, in the weeks to come in 1 John. John calls us to keep God's commandments, and God's
right.
command, keeping God's commandments and love and walking in truth are all just bound up so tightly
they
together.
Are. Gotta
you
do
can't
it.
Really do one without the other. And I think
right.
people think, well, if I become a Christian, then I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to give this up. I have to start doing this. And yeah, God may want you to change some things. He may
right.
want an attitude or a lifestyle adjustment. But he's not going to ask you to do anything more than you can do in him.
In him.
And
I can do all things through Christ
who strengthens me,
Philippians 4:13.
And I also think the other reason is people are afraid of love.
Yeah.
Afraid of...
Good point.
It's hard for us to accept. Like I mentioned before toward the beginning of the show, it sometimes was very hard for me to accept this unconditional gift. Yeah, I could accept gifts at Christmas and my birthday, going back to that. But sometimes, just because of the way we're brought up, it's hard to understand and accept God's unconditional love. Because
absolutely.
We still think we have to do something to win that love.
Right.
And the wonder of it is, there's nothing we can do.
No.
Except just say, wow.
Yeah.
God, you love me, and I accept your love. You know, and that's just downright incredible.
Incredible, amazing. I think a lot of times people have grown up in homes where if you were good and perfect and the model student and all that,
like
then you were loved. But if you weren't all that, then you were treated very poorly.
Well, exactly.
Yelled at, screamed at.
And I made that point before that. Then you don't really have a concept of, when you talk about God the Father's love, it's like, yeah, I know what my father's love was like. I got to do this and this and this in order to earn it.
Right. So we have to have an attitude adjustment there with what we see as God, and God is love. 1 John 4:8, we've said it over and over again today. So, Nan, for those out there that might be struggling right now with attitudes that they have, that they're just burdened down by bitterness and resentment and hatred, what do we say? What can they do?
Well, they can pray to God to give them strength to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah, so in the Bible, I know it says one of the books.
Tell us what, and we'll help you. Where?
Thank you. Where is that? Increase our faith.
Yes.
And
yes.
Where they actually pray to God and ask him
right.
to
increase
help
their faith.
Me increase
yes.
my faith. And I think that we can pray to God and say, help me deal with this.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we do, is a dialogue with God.
Right.
Is between us.
Right.
Lord, help me to handle this, to help me to feel freed up in this area of love, in this area of unforgiveness. I need your help. I can't do it by myself.
Absolutely.
And when we turn it over to him, obviously he's powerful enough to help us with that, and he will if we choose to. Back to choices. You have choices,
trusting God to teach us how to love people that are difficult, or to handle difficult situations, which we've all been in, and maybe we're in there right now. We want to pray for you, dear radio listener, right now. In the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you so much for your great love for us.
Amen.
Lord, your love is amazing. Our minds cannot really, we just really can't comprehend how much you love us. We know that you sent your son Jesus to this earth to be our Savior and to teach us about your love and your grace and your mercy. In fact, Lord, you said in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. and we beheld his glory. That's Jesus. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, we want to learn how to walk in that grace and truth in greater measure. We want to learn how to walk in your love for us. And Lord, we ask right now that for every listener now currently listening live or listens at a later time, that you would just plant a desire in our hearts to walk in love. Plant a desire in us to be like you. God is love. We want to be like you. We want to think like you. We want to feel like you feel. We want to have compassion and kindness and mercy working in our lives. We want to be so full of you, God, that when people bump into us, they bump into a little bit of Jesus. And Lord, that is the goal for our lives. So teach us how to love. Teach us how to love this love in 1 Corinthians 13. Teach us how to be so full of your love, Lord, that other people are won over to you because of the work you're doing on the inside of each of us. We pray strength for each of our listeners. We ask that you teach each of us how to love you more and how to love everyone around us more. And God, we give you the glory and the praise for another wonderful time on the air this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen and amen.
Teach us how to love.
Teach us how to love.
Woo! Nan, I'm going to go to you for your final thoughts here.
Well, I just would encourage the listeners to very carefully maintain that love that they have. You know, I was sitting there thinking at Beacon, there's not one person in that church that I don't genuinely love. And I'm not saying, look at me. That's not it. But, you know, I have had experiences in the past where I actually had to go to someone and say, you know, you not at our church, but in previous.
Sure.
You said such and such to me, and it made me feel this way.
Right.
You know, and that could help clear up that situation.
Amen.
But they will have freedom in walking in love, and I believe they'll receive many blessings by walking in the love that God has for them.
And don't hesitate if there is something you feel between somebody and yourself. Don't hesitate to go to that person.
Do it fast.
Because that's scripturally. Go to them and say, hey, I feel there's something going on here that I don't understand. I want to clear the air between us.
Right. And that way you're free to, you're free then, that frees you to do what you need to do, to whatever your relationship is with God. It frees that up. Like Jesus said, if you're on your way to the temple and you know that your brother or sister has something against you, go make amends with them. Then you bring your offering.
That's right.
Jesus is saying, you know, go. That's so important because that way it unblocks the channel. We talked a lot about unblocking that channel of love. It unblocks it so that we can then go before God with a clear conscience, knowing that we've done everything we need to do.
Right.
To let the love of God flow through us.
Amen.
And, you know, it gets us off the hook, kind of.
Right. Well,
you know, it takes us off the hook and allows God then to work in the life of that other person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what we got to do. We've got to keep walking this love walk. Meditate. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 where we were and just let that get down on the inside of you so you see what God expects of us. And if he expects it of us, it's because he knows we can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't give us things and say, here, I want you to walk in love and us not be able to. We can.
Right.
With the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes. We've got to change our mindset and believe that we can become the people of God that he's calling us to be. And not just continually go around the same mountain over and over again and never make any progress Amen. In this walk of love. We've got to take it seriously. If you've missed any of the last few radio shows in this series, Alive with Five, go back to our website. It is a huge website. Great big server, and I want you to take time to listen. And Nan, you talk about sometimes when you can't sleep in the middle of the night, you've gone and you've tuned in, and you have gone to the website, and you found shows, and you've listened to them.
Yes.
It's a good thing to do.
What a better way to spend time that you can't sleep, and you may be troubled with something is why you can't sleep.
Absolutely.
Just go watch it. You know, the Lord can also, he's so cool, wind up that you hit up on one of them that ministers to what you're dealing
exactly.
with right then. That's
right
like
then.
Cool.
Exactly. And if you get time in the middle of the day, instead of just being, you know, chained to your TV or your video game or whatever, take time to spend a couple hours with God and listen to these shows and learn, take notes. And it's the classroom of the Holy Spirit, you know? It really is.
Well, what's neat about these is that they're listed by title.
Right.
They're also listed by who was on them. So there may be a certain particular person you like to hear talk or whatever.
Right.
You can go through and pick ones, you know.
Exactly.
You're on all of them, of course, you know.
Most of them. Sometimes PJ hosts, if I'm out of town. But, you know, what a joy. What a privilege to come in on the airwaves every week. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us for a service in our Clearwater location. We are temporarily at the Ramada Inn at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Join us Sunday mornings at 10:30. We had a glorious service today. Wow. A mighty move of God. Wednesday night Bible study. Love it. Interactive. Bring your Bible. Bring your notebook. Come and join us. We set up tables. We bring our dinner sometimes. And we just enjoy being in the Word and then prayer meeting prior to Bible study. So Bible study's at 7. And Nan and PJ, you guys are valuable, wonderful members of our radio team. We got 8 or 9 of us now, and it's a joy to be able to share the Word every week. If you have a prayer need, we encourage you, use our prayer line. That's what it's there for. It is free. We want you to use it. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Our website is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. It ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go there and access all these radio shows and learn about the ministry at Beacon. And we're so glad you've joined us today. And Cedric, we are going to use this song soon. I forgot to do it again this week. He said, this is such a great song we end with. We should put it in the middle of the show soon, and we will. It's Not Far to Jesus. God bless you.
Amen.
It's been Pastor Jim, Nan, and I sharing the Word of God with you this day. Join us again next week live at 3 o'clock. God bless you. It's Not Far to Jesus.
He's always there. Woo! Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.